Okay, now I'm joined by the driver of the number 20, a car of many sponsors, but oftentimes DeWalt Toyota, and he'll be in the Coke Zero 400, of course, this weekend, the Coke Zero No Sugar, I believe, 400, and that is Erik Jones, the Michigan driver in his sophomore season in Cup and his first season in the number 20. And Erik, we're approaching the halfway point of your second season. This may be kind of a cliche question, but I want to ask you before we get down to restrictor plate racing here, Where did you think you would be as you laid out your career and your dreams, thinking, okay, where did you think you would be, I guess, by the middle of your second season?
Well, I think there's times where this year we wish we would have run better, but I think, honestly, a lot of times it's been some bad luck, and some of the stuff hasn't really been in our control that's took us out of some good finishes. But the last couple of weeks, we've really been able to clean things up and have solid pit stops and limit everything from the racetrack and keep ourselves up front all day, and from that, we've definitely had a lot better finishes. So we just need to keep that going now for the next, I believe, 9 races here before the playoffs, and get ourselves locked in on points as a backup, and hopefully grab a win. That's still our top goal here is just to grab a win here and be able to get locked in. But we're in a good spot. I think starting the year out, we had to get our car a little bit better and adjust to some of the rule changes they had this year. But overall, I think we've done a good job. Getting the DeWalt Camry better and better as years went and get closer and closer. So just continuously, keeping that improvement on our side has been good the last few weeks. We're just going to keep going with that.
Well, and certainly. And you brought up the points. Do you have if you're, say, Kevin Harvick, right, and Kyle Busch, you saw how hard they were racing at Chicagoland last week. They could just go for wins. Do you look at this race as, well, I mean, I could get a win, but if I don't make that move there in the closing laps and I settle for 7th place, like I get a good points day, or is the win so critical to you? Do you and your crew chief and everybody sit down and kind of put your heads together and build your strategy around points versus win, or is it always just win?
Well, we've talked about it, and on an average weekend, it's always you're going for a win. But when you come to Daytona, it's obviously totally different, and the race is situated totally different than an average race. And the thing for us is we don't want to look back, getting down at the end of the year and going to Indianapolis before the playoff starts and have to be in a position where we're either out on points and don't have a win, or look back at Daytona and think, if we would have just been a little bit smarter at that race, we wouldn't have, basically outsmarted ourselves and took ourselves out of contention for the playoffs. So, that's the big thing for us, is just not having a race here that's going to, take us out of the opportunity to point our way into the playoffs. Obviously, we want to win every week, and that's still the goal. But, you got to be smart when you come to Daytona, any super speedway race, and make sure you're just getting to the end. You want to give yourself a shot to be racing at the end of the race. You look at the last few super speedway races, and they've been a little bit of the survival type of races where, it comes down to the end and there's only 12 or 15 cars really left racing. And we just want to be a part of that group and in that last section that's really going out there and chasing on the win.
When you look at the prospect of getting your first career win, what was your dream scenario? So for me, if I was a driver, it would be either the Daytona 500 or my home track, Atlanta Motor Speedway, if I was a driver. When you sat there as a kid, or sit there now because you still have it, right? Do you sit there and go, this is the race that I'd like to be my first win?
Home track for sure for me. If I could pick it, my first win would want to be at Michigan. That's a race where I have a lot of friends and family out every time we get to go back there. So if we could go and grab that first one at Michigan, that'd be pretty special. But marquee races too. Any driver, you're happy wherever you get your first win, and that track's always going to be special to you. But if you could pick one, it would definitely, for me, be the home track.
Yeah, certainly. I think a lot of people would pick that for sure. What kind of racetrack would you consider your best? Because when I've looked at results and I read articles and analysis, your name comes up a lot on the short tracks, it seems like. Bristol and Richmond, and maybe, I don't know about Martinsville, but certainly those two. Is short track racing the forte of yourself and the forte of your race team, or is there maybe another kind of track surface that you excel at even better?
I do like short tracks a lot, actually. I mean, that's what, I'm most comfortable on, I would say. Mile and a half, so probably right behind that. I've enjoyed mile and a half racing quite a bit, especially as the years got by and I've done more and more of it. And figured it out a little bit more. That's become a favorite of mine too. But short tracks was what I was most comfortable on right away in NASCAR when I started racing in trucks and on up into the Cup Series. I would say every short track except Martinsville's probably was some of my favorite places to go. But, you know, like I said, it's just what I grew up racing, what I was comfortable on, and so many things that I learned on the short tracks, you know, racing super late models kind of still apply today at the Cup level. So be able to take a lot of those things and really still use them, and that's what's been really valuable to me there.
Hey, certainly, we remember you here in Georgia, Gresham Motorsports Park. Never track you ran or won at, but certainly you ran well at. So that's maybe not a surprise. You sit there, oh, I grew up. You're like 21 years old, man. It's like you're still growing up. So what? And speaking of that, a lot of talk, of course, about the young drivers. And I'm not going to ask you maybe a cliche question, but I do want to ask. It seems like certain guys, based on their personality, I think of Bubba Wallace and Ryan Blaney, they're pretty outspoken, and you see them on social media a lot. And I feel like Chase Elliott, who's kind of part of your gang there, not kind of, he is very it seems like he's taking his outspokenness on Twitter, expressiveness a little bit out on social media a little more. Do you find yourself being more reserved compared to them? Is that kind of your game plan? I mean, have you been encouraged to try to step out of that box a little bit, or – I don't know, are you comfortable with that kind of expressiveness in social media and outside of just being on the racetrack?
I think I like to stay under the radar for the most part, you know, but I don't know, you know, social media has never really been my forte. It's something I've always tried to get better at and figure out how to use more and more. It's not something I necessarily used a whole lot before. So, you know, just learning more about it and learning more about, you know, what fans really want to hear from you and some things that they don't care about and what they do care about and what they really want shared from us. So yeah, I think we're all trying to learn that, and I think they've all done a good job of being able to, you know, express themselves in certain ways and keep reserved in other ways. But you know, overall, I just think we're all trying to find that balance, and at least for me, I've always been, I would say, more to the quiet side on social media. So, you know, just learning more about it and figuring out you know, really how to share that personality and how to share your personal life with fans on social media is kind of a fine line.
Yes.
So just learning more about that is what's been, you know, big for me over the last couple of years.
And I feel like at Joe Gibbs Racing, you've got Boris over there, and so they seem to really have their game together, so to speak. So, I mean, do they sometimes ever ask you to do things you're like, that's outside of my comfort zone, or do you just kind of pretend, I don't want to say act like a puppet in a bad way, but you just say, okay, I'm at your mercy, I'll do whatever you say.
there's definitely things I've said no to before, but, you know, for the most part, they do a really good job. JGR has really been stepping up their social media game over the last, I would say, really 6 months even. They're continuing to kind of improve on that and add more and more people to that staff. But obviously, Boris is kind of the start of that and has done a really good job over there of, you know, continuing that social media push and that social media trend. So it's been fun to be a part of. You know, they've got a lot of great ideas and a lot of things on their mind that we can actually use and continue to use. So it's been interesting to see them develop that and kind of come into play with it. So it's been fun to be a part of. I've enjoyed a lot of the things we've gotten to do together with them.
Hey, we're joined again by Eric Jones, driver of the number 20 Toyota in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. Now, Eric, I want to talk a little bit about this. Okay, so I want you to name a driver or person, it doesn't even have to be a driver, in the garage that's around your age group, or maybe a group of drivers that are your go-to, your buddies, and then also a veteran or two, doesn't necessarily have to be a driver, that are also people that you go to either to get advice or hang out with.
You know, me and Blaney and Sage, we've hung out a few times before, and more so hanging out, not talking about racing as much advice. But for advice, I mean, racing advice, I've always gone to Kyle. I mean, that's been the guy that, you know, I've been closest with now for the last 4 or 5 years and really gotten to know. And it's been really valuable to me. You know, he's helped me from the Truck Series on up, you know, even now in the Cup Series. He's always there for advice when I want it. And, you know, we've had a lot of fun hanging out away from the track as well, too. So it's been fun to get to know him more and more and lean on him for advice at times, and also just kind of spend some time away from the racetrack having fun. So it's been cool to get to know him.
Blaney and Kyle, right? Those are the two. Because you cut out of the first part. You said Blaney was the first one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely. He seems to me like kind of the leader of the younger guys. Even though Chase Elliott's got the popularity part down, it seems like Blaney is the kind of go-to face of that. Am I right about that?
Yeah, I would say he's kind of waving the baton most of the time.
Has he brought you on that Glass Case of Emotion podcast before, or is that a little too R-rated for your taste there? I don't know. So.
No, I haven't been on there yet. Maybe one day I'll find my way on there and have a little bit of fun.
They have a lot bit of fun. It's a very little racing talk there. Y'all should listen to that if you have it, okay? So one more for you, Eric. I want to kind of take a zoom out, big view of the sport. And a lot of talk, of course, is how and I'm in the radio business, and our demographic keeps shifting older, and certainly the NASCAR fan base keeps shifting, or seems like it's shifting older and older too, and there's less young people. I mean, even my age, I'm 32, but you're 21, I think 21, that are watching, less of us watching. So as a guy that is in that age group, I know you're a driver, but do you have a thing or two that maybe the sport could do differently that could get people your age watching, something maybe that's not being done or something that people don't know about that's happening?
Well, that's a tough balance and not an easy thing to do. And I think NASCAR's actually really been taking an active step in it here in the last year to promote more and more people my age to get to the racetrack and show them that it's an experience. It's not necessarily just coming to the race and sitting in the grandstands and watching the race. Obviously, that's a big part of it, but it's also, you know, there's as much tailgating at a NASCAR event as there is at any college football or professional football game. You know, hanging out in the infield, camping out for the week, the weekend is a really good time. And I think just getting that age group to see that and show that there's more to it than just sitting in the stands and watching the race is the big thing for me. And I think NASCAR is really starting to embrace that more and more and show, you know, younger people that's out there and that's possible. I mean, if I was just hanging out one weekend and didn't have anything to do, I think it'd be great to come camp out at a NASCAR race with five or six of my buddies and have a good time. So, you know, just getting that word out there and showing that it's an experience, I think, is probably the big thing that they can do and that they have been doing more and more, especially in the last year.
And that seems to be a common answer. It's an experience, and I think things are starting to trend that way. So I think we got Eric Jones for NASCAR mayor here, all right? He's going to be on the Chamber of Commerce board. Well, Eric, I know you got a busy line of phone calls to buzz through here, so I don't want to keep you from any more, but I'm really thankful you joined us here with WSB and GoPRN.com as well.
All right, sounds good, man. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you so much. Eric Jones looking to go for it here in the Coke Zero No Sugar 400.